This is the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray, episode 141.
Welcome to the Soulful PR Podcast. Tune in every week for practical tips, strategies, and case studies that will help you get media coverage for your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello, and welcome to the show. In this episode, I've got an interview for you on how to write and publish your own book. And my guest is Amanda Cook. She's a digital marketing expert, a certified holistic health coach, and also a great friend of mine. Now, Amanda has recently published her first book, Wellpreneur, and I just thought it would be a great opportunity to get somebody on the show to spill all their secrets on the writing and book publishing process. And I also share a few of my own gems about my experience of publishing my book too. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, ResponseSource. ResponseSource is a media inquiry service that puts journalists who are looking for help with stories in touch with people who want to be featured in the media. So that's people like you. And if you subscribe to ResponseSource, you'll get dozens of emails in your inbox every day from journalists from the likes of the BBC, The Guardian, and Grazia magazine. So there's no need to write press releases or pitches to journalists. You simply reply to the messages in your inbox. Now, using ResponseSource has resulted in some fantastic coverage for the clients that I work with. And one example that comes to mind is Kate Beavis, an expert in vintage style who's recently been featured in the Daily Mail, in Top Sante magazine and the Metro newspaper, simply from replying to a few emails. So if you'd like to find out if ResponseSource could help you to get press coverage for your business and have a free trial of the service, then head over to responsesource.com/Janet Murray. That's responsesource.com/Janet Murray, and I'll also put a link to that in the show notes. And now, on with the main part of the show. So, welcome to the show, Amanda.
Oh, I'm so glad I could be here. I'm so glad we could make this work.
So, could you start by telling us a little bit about you and also your book that you've got coming out?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's such an exciting time. So what I do is digital marketing for the wellness industry. So I work with health coaches and yoga teachers and nutritionists and personal trainers and everyone in wellness to talk about how to market their business online. And so I've been doing that. Oh gosh, this business I've been doing for about 4 years, where I've been doing digital marketing, and I have had a podcast that you've been on. That's how we met originally. And the podcast has been going for 3 years, and I've got a course called Marketing Bootcamp, and I teach through blog posts, I work with clients, and now the book is coming out. So the book is kind of a culmination of everything I've been working on, and the title is Wellpreneur, like the business, and it's the ultimate guide for wellness entrepreneurs to nail your niche and find clients online. So it's really like a, you know, the summary of everything that I do and have worked with clients and everything that I teach to really help people how to bring more of the right people to their website and turn them into paying clients. So it's really like a, almost like a, it's really like a how-to guide, really, to teach you how to do online marketing. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Okay. And so you've created a lot of content over the years. So you've got your podcast and you've also got your courses that you've mentioned and your programs. What made you decide to turn it into a book?
Well, first, I think, you know, for many of people listening, I think writing a book is kind of a life goal that many people have. And for me in particular, it just felt like this was the right next step, because I've got, obviously I work with people one-on-one, but I can't work with, there's a limit to how many people I can work with. So I've also got a course, but I really wanted a way to spread this information and my marketing system more widely. And for me, the book just felt like the right way to do that, because it's something that, you know, you can easily buy at a really low cost. You can pass on to your friends. It can be in wellness schools. Like, it's a really good entry-level way to get people to learn this system and to learn how to start to find more clients. So for me, it just felt, it was something I wanted to do anyway. And it just felt like this was the right information that needed to be in this format.
And like me, you've made the decision to self-publish your book. Can you talk a little bit about why you decided to do that?
Yeah. Oh, I definitely want to talk about this, because it's so funny. I tell people, I thought that writing the book was going to be the hard part. You know, I thought that would be most of the work. But actually, I've learned going through the process that it's really, it's like, it's the launch that's a lot of work. And I'm curious to hear your experience about that too, Janet. But so I decided to self-publish because it gave me creative control. And I really had a clear vision for what I wanted to put into the book and what I wanted the book to look and feel like. And I'm quite, I guess, impatient about wanting to just get things out there. And once I had the draft written, I just was just like, that's it. I want to put it out, and I want to put it out in a way that really fits me and my brand. So in the future, I'm open to working with publishers, but I just felt for this one, it was just a way for me to get it out quickly and really put it out in the way that I wanted to.
Yeah, I think I felt the same with mine, actually. And I felt it was a little bit about control, because I've seen so many authors who've got a publishing deal, and then not only do they have to wait years to get it out there, but also they often get promised lots of help with publicity. And then when it comes to it, they end up doing all of their own PR and marketing and wondering where this magic PR person that they were supposed to get to help them. And I kind of thought, well, like you, I just kind of want to do it myself. And, you know, in my case, you know, in your case, you understand marketing, PR is my thing. I thought, well, actually, I reckon I can probably do this better myself. But also just things like the cover and the way it looked and felt. I just felt that I wanted that to be mine. It sounds it was kind of similar for you.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I think your point about the reason people go with publishers a lot of times is for that marketing help and also to try to get larger visibility. But I think in both of our situations, we already have a community. So I've got a community of Wellpreneurs. We get, over 18,000 downloads a month of the podcast. We've got a big community on Facebook. We've got, you know, I've got people there that are ready. They were, you know, willing to be beta readers and give early feedback. Right now, I've got a team of ambassadors that are helping me to do outreach with the book. And so there's people there already waiting for it. And I think maybe if I was starting and I didn't have any audience, then it might be more appealing to hope that a publishing company could get you that. But for me, I just thought, you know, the people are there. We're already this community. So I just need to put this thing out there. I just need to do the work and get it out there.
Exactly the same for me. And can we just rewind a little bit, actually, and talk about the writing part of it? Because I skipped straight on to the why did you self-publish? But actually, how long did it take you to write, and how many words is it? And how did you actually sit down and get it written? Because I know, like me, you're busy doing lots of coaching and training and all that kind of thing. Where did you find the space to do it?
Yeah, so I'd been thinking about writing the book for probably well over a year before I actually started writing it. Which in retrospect, I would just now, you know, if I had an idea for a book, I'd just sit down and write it. But at the time, I wasn't quite sure how to approach it. So I was thinking about it for a while. And what finally got me to start writing was to create a really clear outline. So I just created a complete outline of what I wanted in the book. And then, and this started last summer, I just sat down and I challenged myself that every morning I'd get up and write for an hour. And I did. So I did that for a month and a half. And then, and I'm going to be totally honest here. So I did that for a month and a half. I got about 80% through the book. So the book is just under 60,000 words. Mm-hmm. So I got to like 80, 85% of the book written. And then I got bored. Like I'm being totally honest here. I hit a wall and I was like, I was like, this book's awful. What am I doing? You know, I don't want to do this anymore. And I put it aside. It's so crazy. And so then, it wasn't until October this year that I ran into somebody at a conference who made the comment that if he gets his book 80% written, he knows it's getting published. He doesn't care. He just finishes it. And for me, that really hit home. And I thought, you know what? I'm almost finished with this book. I should really go back and look at it and just finish it. So I pulled it out when I got home from this conference and I read it and I was like, oh, wait, this is actually really good. And so then that pushed me to finish it. So it's hard to say. It's probably like a month and a half of every hour and then a couple weeks of intense writing later this fall. Mm. And then it was done. But I just share that story to say that, like, we're our own worst enemies sometimes. I mean, I'm quite a productive person. I get lots done. But we can still, when you're so close to a project, you know, you can just psych yourself out from it. And actually, like, I'm super proud of the book now. I think it's so useful. It's got really good feedback. So I think you just need to, don't let those little demons derail you. You just need to keep writing, finish the project, get to the first draft.
Well, what worked for me was I set aside, I still do this now, actually, every morning. So I generally don't do anything that involves talking to anybody between 9 and 12. So that's when I do my writing, not just my book writing, but also blog writing and email writing, that kind of thing, because that's the time when I'm at my best. But I think having a regular time where you show up and do the work helps a lot, doesn't it? And like you, I think I wrote mine in a few months, and I was able to take a load of blog content and just kind of dump it into a Google Doc. I created an outline like you did. And then I worked out that actually I already had a lot of content that I could use for some of those chapters. So I was able just to kind of dump, in a way, my project was a bit like an editing project, really. I was able to sort of take things that I already had and edit them. But that was kind of frustrating in a way, because I kind of had the content there, but I had to kind of tweak it and change it. And like you, I hit some walls, but overall, I probably only took a couple of months. But it was the next stage that I actually found the most challenging.
Yes. What, the structural, did you get like structural editing done and like the second revision, or do you mean just the promotion?
So yeah. I mean, it'd be good to get you to talk about what you did, because people ask me this all the time. Okay, so you had your manuscript, what did you do? Well, a friend of mine, Sarah Newton, she suggested I had a deadline. I wanted to get it out on a particular date. I wanted it to be ready for an event that was running last July. And so she said to me, you need to get a kind of layout formatting type person to do it. She said, actually, you need to have somebody to read it first. But I decided, because I'm a journalist and an editor, and because I'm married to an editor as well, I decided I was going to skip that part because I didn't have enough time. So I took mine straight to the formatting editor. And I found that really, really hard, because she just came back with like, you know, she laid it out for me and it looked nice. I got my designers to create some nice images and things, but there were still textual mistakes in it. And I just kept having to go through it. And I was just like tearing my hair out by the end of it. So can you talk a little bit? I think you probably did it properly and did the steps in the right order. Can you talk about what you did in terms of the editing process?
Yeah, sure. And this is something I did not understand at all. Like I said, I thought the writing was really the big piece. And then it just kind of, you could just kind of have someone turn it into a book for you. But so actually what needs to happen, my biggest tip is, and then I'll talk about the edits I went through, but is just to what I call write forward. So I was just writing to get to a first draft. So I didn't do any editing at first. I just like wrote steadily until the whole book was finished, right? And then at that point, you've got your first draft. And so then at that point, you want to make it as good as you can make it personally. So like I gave it a few days and then would go back and then read through it fresh and make some changes. And so then once the book is as good as you can make it, that's when an editor comes in. So I went back and forth, you know, like you, I went back and forth and I thought, do I really need an editor? You know, I just wasn't sure if I wanted to make that investment. But actually, it was a great investment. So the first thing the editor does is do a structural edit. So she actually read through my whole manuscript, and it's not even typos at that point. It's like, does this make sense? Is this redundant? Add more here, clarify, tell more stories, like move this section here, like really structural stuff. And that was so much more work than I was anticipating, because, you know, it's not something like, oh, you just change a typo. It's like you're really in there revising and trying to clarify. And to me, that was a lot more work than I was expecting. But in the end, I'm so glad I did it, because the book's actually a lot better. You know, I was happy with it when I gave it to her. But when I read it now, it just, the examples are better. It's stronger. It's shorter. It makes the points. Like, it's really clear. So I went through that structural edit. And then when that's done, then it goes into the line editing, which is like the proofreading. So she did a whole like line edit, and this is all in Google Docs or in a Word doc. And then it goes to the formatting stage, which is where it goes to like get actually laid out in a print book or an ebook format. So there's like all these different stages that I didn't realize. So there's like first draft, structural edit, line edit, and then formatting. And then in the meantime, you're planning your launch and you're getting your cover designed and, you know, and the email opt-ins and all of that. There's so much more than just writing the book.
And can you talk a little bit about how long that took you, and also the cost as well? Because I think often people are interested to find out, well, how much would that cost me to get those editors on board and to have all of that done?
Yeah, sure. So I did it apparently very quickly. Well, I'm curious how long it took you too, because when I was telling my editor my time frame, she was really surprised. That she said that's super fast. So I did all of that in 6 weeks. Like from the time the first draft was done to publication is 6 weeks, which is quite fast.
Yeah, I think mine was similar. I think.
So, and you know, and she made the point, my editor made the point that like most people you would have to hire a marketing company or somebody to really do most of it for you. But since I'm in marketing, like I wanted to do it myself. So I just have done it, you know, but that it's kind of an aggressive time frame. It's probably would be more relaxing if you stretched it into eight or 10 weeks. But let's see, in terms of costs, so it, I mean, you can find providers at all different price points, right? So for me, I wanted a good editor. So I paid about, let's see, about $2,000 for editing. And then I paid probably about $700 US for the cover. And like, then for the ebook formatting was about $100. And then the print formatting is about $400. And I think there's some other things in there too.
Yeah, yeah. See, I probably saved a little bit by doing the, not doing the edit stage, but I'm pretty sure my book would have been better for it. But I think because I was rushing to get it out, I think if I do a second edition, then I may well go back and have somebody to have a look at the kind of structural side of it as well. But I paid less for my cover. So I think I probably spent, I think I probably did mine on about £500 or £600 or something like that. Ridiculous.
For the whole book?
Yeah, I did mine really budget, I think. But that was because I was working so, so quickly. I'd say more, if I was advising someone, I would say to do what you've done, because I think what you've done is better.
But I mean, you can go a lot more expensive. So I was looking at, the first time I got a cover done, I got them done on 99 Designs, where you set up a design contest and lots of designers bid on it. And the first time I did the cheapest one, so it was like $250 US. And I really was not happy with the designs. So that's why I ended up going back and then paying for a more expensive, I put more money towards it so that I could get a better quality of designers. And I love my cover that I ended up with. So that worked out really well. In the formatting, I had a really hard time actually. Because if you go on Fiverr, which Fiverr can be great for lots of services, I've used them a lot, but I've tried a few different people for book formatting and it was a complete disaster, like just so bad quality. And so then I ended up paying, this one person was $100. And then again, the print formatter, I had quotes that were like, you know, $1,200 for print formatting. And I had people saying they do it for $10. And so,
yeah, it's hard to decide, isn't it?
So hard to know. And so I bought some of the cheaper ones and they just weren't right. So then I found the lady that would do it for about $350. So I think it's like, you can do it really, really inexpensively, or you can do it really expensively. And for me, the biggest investment was the editor. And I felt really comfortable with that because I really wanted that help.
Yeah. I would really advise people to, if I was doing it again, I would definitely do that. And one thing that surprised me, actually, I got recommendations. So the formatting editor I used was a recommendation. And that's how I would generally try and do it, is find somebody who's used somebody, you know, it's always better, isn't it?
But what Jenna, I should have talked to you actually when I was looking for my formatter. I don't know why I didn't, because I was really, really struggling with it. So
my lady was really good actually, but she was really strict, and she obviously wasn't used to dealing with journalists who do everything at the last minute. And I was surprised how far she was booked ahead, and I had to pay her in full before she would start on anything at all, which is obviously quite different from the way that I work on some of my projects. And she was very, very strict with me about, you know, getting things to her on time. And it was, but I was surprised really how organized I needed to be in order to meet her deadlines. And because we were doing revisions and things like that, I noticed a mistake, and it wasn't actually my fault. It was something that she'd missed, and it was like over the weekend, and I was like begging her to do it for me, because otherwise I wasn't going to make my deadline. Because the other thing you have to factor in as well, if you're going to publish on Kindle, it takes them a couple of weeks, doesn't it, before you... I think I set a publication date a few months or weeks ahead, but you have to sort of work back from that, and they have to have some notice, don't they, before they get it up online. I'm trying to remember the details now. It'll be fresher for you because it was last year.
It's like 72. Yeah, it's up to 72 hours, I think, to get it up. But it just depends, because they review the books, obviously, before they go out. But I just want to make one point about like in deciding how much money you want to spend on the book. I think a big part of it, at least for me, was I thought, this is my first time and I kind of want a guide or a mentor, you know, to help me through it. And for me, that was one of the big motivations to work with an experienced editor, was somebody that had been through all of this and could, you know, talk me down from the ledge when I was like freaking out about the formatter and whatever, like somebody that had actually been there before. And I think, you know, throughout your business, I think that's at different points, that's really valuable. You'll save so much time by just saying, okay, who already knows how to do this? And can they just help me? And sometimes you just have to pay for that help.
It's a really good point. And I can remember I was basically waking up at 5 o'clock every day for quite a few weeks. And I literally, my eyes would bolt open at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'd be at my desk by about 10 past five, like going through proofs and checking and whatever. And I remember just thinking, this is not right. There must be a better way of doing this. And and so I learned a lot of lessons about how to do it better, which is why I would advise people to do what, you know, what you did. I think it's a much better way of doing it. And you mentioned there about having a book group, because we can sort of move on to marketing now, I guess. But the marketing starts before you've even finished the book, or you've even sort of got to this stage. I had a book group, a Facebook group, where I was doing things like sharing Facebook covers with people and sample chapters and getting their feedback. And it sounds like you did similar sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, I didn't really talk about the book until I'd finished writing it. And that, and a lot of people actually share during the writing process. But for me, like, I wasn't convinced, it wasn't real for me until it was written. And then I knew it was going to come out. So as soon as I had my first draft, then basically I started talking to my community and just said, you know, here this book is coming and I'm going to need your help. And would you like to sign up to be a book ambassador? And so I've pulled together a group of 60 book ambassadors that are, we're in a private little Facebook group. We've got our normal Facebook group with, you know, 1600 members, but this one is just the people that were like really willing to spend time to help with the book. And that's been incredible because they've helped with the covers. I had 5 very brave souls that read the very first edition and gave me really good feedback. People have been helping on the title and just on the content and giving feedback on lots of things and going to help with the promotion process. So that it is a marketing thing, but actually as an author, that's been super helpful for me as well, because it's a lot of work to do this book. And it really made me feel like suddenly I was not just doing it for myself. Like, people were waiting for it and they were excited about it and they were giving me feedback, and it made it much easier for me to push through and finish too. So I'm really, really grateful for that group and their enthusiasm and support, because it, you know, it makes it like feel like it's a real team community effort, not just me.
Yeah. And I think if people feel that they've taken a part in it and they've read drafts and giving you feedback when it comes out, they feel excited for you, don't they? And they want to tell people about it, which is really nice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you need that help, because now when we're recording this, I'm actually a week before my book launch. So we'll see how this all goes. But the reason that we have those ambassadors is because I can't spread the word everywhere. And I really need people that are enthusiastic in my community to, you know, help share with the right people that need to see this kind of book. So I think not only just helping to create the book, but helping it to really get like an organic movement going and spread to the people that need to see it.
A couple of questions, quite a few questions actually come up out of that. So the first one was about, well, where did you find those ambassadors? I'm assuming you got them on your list and out of your Facebook group. So people who are already in your community, that's where you found them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's quite an interesting point for me, because this is a conversation I'm having a lot at the moment, actually, I have a membership community called the Soulful PR Studio. And I'm talking to people who want to write books, or they want to create products or programs, but they don't yet have an audience. So I'm saying to them, build your audience first. You get people around you, get people who like what you do and know your stuff. And then when it comes to putting out a product or a book or whatever it might be, then you've got those people in place. You've got your fans, if you like, your people who are going to support you and help carry that launch. And it sounds like it's kind of worked like that for you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm really glad you raised that point, because I think I can't imagine doing this without a community, because how would you get feedback? And how would you know if the book was what people actually needed to read, and who would be buying it? You know, once you spend that time to really develop a community, it's not just developing fans, but it's really helping you to get in tune with how you can help people. Like, it's, you're getting in tune with what they need. And, you know, you asked me in the beginning, how long did it take to write the book? And I said, whatever, a month and a half or so. But actually, if I look at what's in the book, it's the culmination. It teaches my system, the organic growth system, of how to actually market yourself online. And I didn't just come up with that in a month and a half. You know, that's something that's been developed over the past few years in conjunction with my community and teaching courses and giving workshops and working with clients. And I think that's the building the community process. It's like that. That's all been an organic process to get me to a point that I have something that I can write about in the book.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, you don't need to be impatient with it. Like, I think it's well worth, for anybody listening, spending that time to build a community of people that are interested in what you have to say and people you can help, because ultimately, you know, not only does that help you have an audience, but you'll be much better at what you do because you'll actually know, you'll be refining your message and what you're teaching based on what people actually need.
Yeah. And I think it's a much easier sell, you know, when it comes to marketing. I was listening to a podcast with Amy Schmittau, the video marketing expert, and she's just launched a book and I've been following her book launch. She's very clever. She even came up with a song, her own book launch song, which is quite exciting. But I heard somebody ask her in a podcast, you know, well, why did you wait this long? And she said something like that. Well, you know, I was building up my audience, I was building up my fan base, and it's so much easier to put something like this out in the world if you've actually got followers or you've got an audience. But I see so many people trying to do this kind of thing because they like the idea of having a book, but actually you do need somebody to share it with and to sell. And the other thing I wanted to mention about the having the book group was, I don't know if you've done this as well, but what I did was I asked my book group members if they would leave a review on Amazon. You have to be very transparent about this, and the person has to say, I was given an advance copy of the book. And this is based on, you know, seeing a copy a few weeks ago, whatever it was. You have to be quite transparent. But I was able to get quite a few book reviews up on Amazon the day that my book came out, basically, which obviously is absolutely great. And in exchange, I think I offered a ticket for a live event or something like that, or a video of a live event. And, you know, some people took me up, some people didn't. But that was a way for me to get some reviews on Amazon. And it meant I was able to, in the first few days, I was able to, you know, to get in the top, I think I got number one, I think, in the first couple of days in the Amazon category for my book. And that's another important thing about having a community to help you, almost like kind of, you know, kind of come round you and help you launch this thing, because you need that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you hear like that most books on Amazon, like, I mean, if you've just put out a random book without doing marketing around it, unfortunately, like, no one's going to buy it. You know, it's just, there's so much volume on Amazon. And so really that marketing plan is a piece that a lot of authors don't think about. But what I have found is really cool is it's not necessarily anything special to a book. Like, it's the kind of marketing I'm doing around the book is just the same as marketing a course or marketing my coaching or marketing my podcast. You're building this community. I mean, it's the same kind of steps that you're going through. So I think for anybody listening, anything that as you can start building your audience and start learning how to give value to your audience and to market to them also, like, those skills are going to help you now and also help you when you have a book. So it's like, it's all transferable.
One other quick question, because I do want to get you to walk through your marketing strategy, because I think people will find that really useful. But I don't know if this happened to you, but I had in my book group, I had people really reacted very, very strongly to my cover, in that they didn't like it. So when I went with the cover, which some people have said it looks like a novel, it looks like a chick lit book. And I really just felt like in my gut was telling me that I needed to have a cover like that. And I needed to have something that wasn't a kind of corporate-y, businessy type book. And, you know,
say the name of your book too, because it's awesome.
Oh, okay. Right? Your press release is breaking my heart.
So it's catchy, and you can't have a boring business title, business cover with that kind of title, right?
Yeah, and that was my argument, you know. So I was like, look, this is not a kind of business book, you know, which is a kind of corporate-y book about, you know, how to get media coverage. This is quirky. I'm going to teach you some things that maybe, you know, you won't see in another PR book, or you won't hear from anybody else, because I'm a journalist teaching you about PR. I'm coming at it from a different angle. And so, but I got a couple of people who really strongly reacted to my book cover and said they didn't like it, said I was making a big mistake. Now, actually, I mean, just repeatedly, I get compliments on how much people love the cover. And, you know, people have actually said, I bought it because I like the cover, which is like quite interesting. But that was hard to handle, because although my gut was telling me I was right, and my gut was telling me I knew my book, I knew my audience, I knew what I was trying to do, that was the right book cover. But I had some people saying, you are making a big mistake here. Mm-hmm. Have you had any experiences with anybody where they've given feedback and you've been like, actually, I'm not sure that I agree with that?
Oh, totally, totally. And totally around the book cover. The book cover process was a lot more difficult than I was expecting. You know, I felt like when I was looking at the designs, I knew very quickly if I loved it or hated it. But because of the process I was using, I let my audience vote on which covers they like. And oh my gosh, the votes were so polarizing sometimes. You'd get people saying that they adored a cover, and other people saying that it, you know, it it totally didn't reflect the brand and they hated it. And just like you said, that it was a big mistake. I had people send me private messages saying that they just felt that none of the covers were good enough and I should really start over because they were worried about my business. Like people really getting, you know, wrapped up in it. But to me, I think during this process, I've really learned to trust my gut on what I think is right. Because also when I sent it out to beta readers, the earliest copy, the first copy I sent to 5 people to read, and the comments that came back were so diverse. Like you'd get the same case study in the book and one person would say, oh, I hate this. It rubs me the wrong way. It's awful. I'm really turned off by this. And somebody else is like, yes, that's just what I needed to hear. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I just kept reminding myself, you know, I'm the business owner. And like you said, I know my audience and I know what they need. And I just, you know, you listen to people's feedback, but ultimately you have to make the decision. Mm. But it's tough. It's tough when people are so opinionated on it.
Yeah, and I think that's part of it. I think you have to be just prepared that that's going to happen and you just need to kind of like ride it out, I think. I mean, I do it a lot. I share in my Facebook community, I share like if I have new publicity photos done or if I have new branding done for an event or something like that. And sometimes people will have such strong reactions to things and they will read things into an image that I would never, ever consider in a million years. But I guess you just have to, you have to take the rough with the smooth, don't you? So can you talk a little bit about your marketing strategy? Because obviously that's your area of expertise. I'd be really curious to know like how you've mapped it all out.
Yeah, I'd love to. And my editor, because in our first meeting, she said, okay, well, have you thought at all about your marketing plan? You know, we were supposed to talk about editing, but she'd also asked at the end, like, if I thought about it, because most authors don't think about it at all. So I like promptly pulled up this huge project plan I had and like in my spreadsheet. And she was like, okay, I'll just let you get on with that because you kind of know what you're doing. Basically my approach to it was with all marketing is you have to think about like what's the next step for people. So it's not just about like selling the book, right? It's like, where is the book in the context of your business and what you're trying to achieve? And so for me, I'm always wanting to bring people back to my email list. So that's where I started off with when I'm thinking about the book marketing. So I'm kind of approaching this in a couple different ways. So I've set up a way that before the book is launched, and even once the book is launched, you can go and register to get a free chapter. And then, you know, before the launch, you can register to be notified when the book's going to come out. So we're starting to build the list that way. But also, I'm curious if you did this too. Within the book, I've included a URL for readers to be able to go get bonuses so they can get worksheets and downloads and more additional interviews and more information to supplement the book, right?
Yeah.
And so that's a big strategy for the book. Is to actually get people, readers that want to go further, to then come sign up at the website and get access to all those bonuses. And then they kind of get brought into my community so they can listen to the podcast and be part of the Facebook group and then maybe buy some courses and get into that universe. So with that in mind, so in my mind, when I was planning the marketing strategy, I was like, okay, that's what I want to do is I want to get more people to get the book and then come over to my website. So basically, I'm taking like a couple pronged approach. So I've got the ambassador group. That was the first thing. That's key. And we've talked about that a lot, is to get those group of advocates that are really going to help you to improve the product and then also to like spread the word. And then I looked at, well, what outreach potential do I have? So for me, I've got a blog and I've got a podcast. So for each of those, I made a plan. Like, when am I going to share something? You know, I've got 6 weeks. So when am I going to share these things on the blog? And when am I going to share certain things on the podcast? So for example, I've had episodes on the podcast where I've read a free chapter from the book in the run-up. So that was looking at like the outreach that I can control. And then I started looking at influencers. And so who are the people that I know that would be able to share the book or, you know, might have access to people that would like the book? And I also started reaching out to them even before the launch with the early reader copy, to encourage them to read it and to ask, like, to start a conversation about, you know, is this something that they could share with their audience? And there's a whole bunch of ways they could do that. They could share it on social media. They could review it online. They could agree to write me an Amazon review. They could give me a blurb. So there's lots of ways that we could work together, but just to start that process earlier, to be reaching out to people. And then also we're also looking at other media like guest posting. So where can I guest post? Where can I write articles? And where can I speak on other podcasts? So we've kind of got this whole, there's looking at our media, like what we control, as well as influencers we know, and then other people's media that would be a good fit. And we're kind of going after all of those at the same time to try to create what I've heard called an echo chamber about a launch. So you just want to be everywhere that launch week.
And the ultimate aim, like you said at the beginning, I think, which is so important, is to get people back to your website and back to your email list, basically, because that's where you can keep in touch with them. And once they've read their book, they might be ready for the next step. They might be ready for a call. So they might be ready for whatever it is that you've got coming up next.
Exactly. I mean, I think it depends on the purpose that you're writing your book. Like for me, it's a book about what I'm teaching in my business. So it needs to actually fit into the overall context of my business. And what I love about a book is it's so, like I said at the beginning, it's so accessible. Like anybody can buy the book and download it and read it and then start to come into the community. And so I really wanted to make sure that I'm positioning it in a way that that makes sense to the rest of my business.
And I feel a bit like my book is my business card, or it's my tripwire product, because my book is £12 on the print copy, similar on Amazon. And often people will buy that and then they'll like that. And every day I get people signing up to you mentioned the free resources. So I've also got a free resource with each chapter and they can sign up. I've hosted it on Teachable. And so every day I get new email signups from people who've read the book and then signed up for the free resources, which is great. But yeah, often it's almost like a tripwire product where if people read the book, they like it, they think they'd like to go a little bit further, then they may well come into my Facebook community and I might see them there, and then they may well join a webinar, and then they may well sign up for a course. You know, it's not like a kind of instant thing, but it's like basically you're starting to build a relationship with that person, and there's a good chance they'll end up being a customer at some point in the future. And it sounds like that's kind of how you're thinking with yours.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all content marketing, isn't it? And it's the same thing. It's content in the book. And it's actually what's cool about that is that you don't, like, I'm not selling it all in the book, actually. It's just like it is teaching my system. But the cool thing about that is, like, you read that and some people, they'll be like, great, that's great, that's enough. And they join the Facebook group or something, and then that's fine, and they'll implement themselves. And some people will say, oh, wow, that's really cool, let me go further. Like, how can I learn more? You know, can I get support? And then that kind of brings them into your world further. So, yeah. I think it is definitely, it's like an entry-level product, but also, yeah, it's...
But for me, it's also I wholeheartedly believe that there's some people who could just take my book and they could implement everything I say in my book and they wouldn't need to do anything else. So they wouldn't need any more support. They could just basically use that, maybe use some blog posts and podcasts to supplement it. And I think that's really nice as well, because for me, sometimes I have people, particularly if they're just starting off in their business and they've got a very small budget, then actually £10 or £12 might be all they can afford. And actually, if they can get great value out of that investment and they're going to tell all their friends about it, then I'm really happy about that. I think that's really great. Mm-hmm. You know? So it's not necessarily about converting every single person. It's about having different options, I guess, at different price points for people as well. And, you know, and people who might come on a journey with you. So we've been talking for ages. I could talk to you for hours about this. It's like geeking out on all this stuff. But is there anything else that you think's worth sharing about the writing, publishing or marketing process that we haven't covered so far?
Well, I would just encourage everybody to, like, and I guess we did say this, but really to get other people involved in the process, because it was such a different experience for me when I was writing on my own versus once I actually started telling people about it and feeling their enthusiasm and hearing what their aspirations were for the book. And so I'd say, you know, if you are dreaming about writing a book, yeah, put together the outline, get some ideas, but then start talking about it. And I think you'll also find that people, I mean, there's something magical about writing a book. Like I didn't expect this, but when I tell people I've written a book, they're like, oh, that's so cool. Whereas actually, like, I think it's cool I've had a podcast for 3 years, you know, but like that doesn't get the same kind of reaction. Mm. Like the book really, and people really think that's a cool thing, I think, because so many people dream about doing it. So I'd say if you're listening and you would like to write a book, start to put some thoughts together and then just start talking about it and bring other people into that vision. It makes it so much easier to go forward with.
And you're right. I mean, it's such a good feeling having it in your hand, and it just helps in so many ways. Like if somebody gets in touch with me and they're interested in booking me for speaking, I will just send out a book to them. If I go for a meeting, you know, if I go to deliver training, I will take a book along with me as a gift for the person who's booked me. I'm trying to think of other events. Obviously, I take my books along and I sell them at events. And I've had the experience, which was very strange, of actually being up speaking at an event and people practically tripping over to get to the front because I only had 6 books with me. And that's quite, you know, that's quite an exciting. People asking you to sign the book as well. That's very, very exciting because you're kind of like, oh my God, this is my book. And people actually want me to sign it, which is really, really fun as well. And it is just when you hold that book in your hand, it's just such an exciting experience. So where can we find your book and more about you?
Yeah, so you can find the book at wellpreneurbook.com. That's the book website, also on Amazon. And to learn more about me, well, I host the Wellpreneur podcast, so that's probably the best place to find it. And you can get to there on iTunes or through my website, which is wellpreneuronline.com.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much. It's been such a good chat, so thank you.
This is great, Janet. Thanks. Bye.
You've been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, why not come over and join my Facebook group? It's simply the Soulful PR Facebook community, and I'd love to see you there.
You've just been listening to the Soulful PR Podcast with Janet Murray. If you enjoyed the show, she'd really appreciate you leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more free content that will help you get media coverage for your business.